Lord Jesus, let our ears hear, let our minds receive the words that you would speak through this instrument tonight. Lord Jesus, let your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, give the utterances, the encouragement, the edification, the strength, the words of salvation, that we may truly begin to live this exciting, wonderful life that you have portrayed to us through our wonderful brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask that everything to be done through us glorify Him. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
What I'd like to do in our talk tonight, I would like to build in you faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it said, "Now it is impossible to please God without faith, since we must believe that He exists and He rewards those that diligently seek after Him." So our process in this life is a seeking one. It's one that we constantly seek God in His Word, serving one another. This is the way I seek God, is by willing to serve you. I can't seek God in some abstract way that leaves you out. You are the very source of my salvation. It's how I treat you whether I'm going to get to heaven or not. Jesus said, if you can't love the brother that you see, how can you love me who you've never seen? And in our creed, we believe that God is the Father of all flesh, don't we? Because each one of us is a unique, marvelous, masterful creation of God. Now, what I want to do is, in our session tonight, we're going to go to the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember last night when we said that the true Spirit of God is the Spirit that says the same words that Jesus says. If they're not saying what Jesus said, they're not from God. The Holy Spirit of God will only say what He said. They won't say anything else. The Holy Spirit living in me will not say anything other than what Jesus said. So every once in a while when you hear something come out of me that Jesus said, you know that's the Holy Ghost. You can forget everything else but what Jesus said. Don't pay any attention to it. Amen? Just erase it. But when the words come forth, this is what Jesus said, grab hold. Because it is in that that builds in us our faith. And it is the faith that is built in us by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that pleases our Father, and nothing else pleases Him. I don't care how smart you are, how good looking you are, how much money you got, how much property you own. I don't care who you are. It's impossible to please God without faith. And from the very lowly to the very highest, I don't care what position you're in, it's impossible to please God without faith. Since we must believe that He exists, and He says, I will reward you that diligently seek after me. Now, the bishops tell us from Vatican Council II something that's extremely important. And I want to read it to you, if I can find it. I can find it. It's the exhortation. It's the very last. It's the summation of the whole document. And I'm just going to read through it and make brief comments on it. And we're going to go right to what builds faith in us. Because anything that I say that's not the words of Jesus have very little or no effect in your life at all. The bishops then make to all the laity an earnest appeal, and folks, that's a sincere, earnest appeal, to give a willing, noble, and enthusiastic response to the voice of Jesus Christ. We are fixing to look at the voice of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God speaking through God, we're fixing to look at it. And it's in that that the bishops tell us that we are to willingly receive these words. It is a noble thing to do, and as we do it, it is to make us enthusiastic. Now, I have discovered as I've received the words of the Lord Jesus, willingly brought them into my heart, let them flood my soul, and begin to change my mind, metanoia, repenting as I would go. As I begin to do that, I begin to draw closer and closer and closer to God. Now, in my drawing closer and closer and closer to God, the only way that can happen is through the power of God's Holy Spirit. He has to do the drawing. We've got to be willing to be drawn. And the Gospel of Sunday said, it's not by our wisdom. Our wisdom is foolishness to God. His wisdom is foolishness to the world. And for us to be in tune with God, the world will classify us as fools. So we are to willingly accept the voice of Jesus Christ. And folks, this is the only voice we're to follow. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. Charlie Osborne leads you astray. He will. Father would lead you astray, but Jesus won't. Now, as long as Father Henry and Charlie Osborne are speaking the words of Jesus, we'll be leading the people by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Amen. So we can always know that a preacher of the words of Jesus, edifying and building and exhorting the body, can be identified by the agape. Amen. Say agape.
Agape.
What does that mean?
Whew,
isn't that heavy? I mean, that makes you weak right there. Oh, my Lord. In other words, folks, when you enter into that, your life is finished. It is no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. Your will has been destroyed, and God replaces it with the will of Jesus Christ. It's no longer my will. And folks, there's where the peace is. As long as I operated under my will, I was a confused turkey. I just gobbled all the time. I just had a horrible mess. I just doing my thing. There's old Charlie Osborne doing his thing. Thought I was a sure enough hot shot. The council, the bishops then make to all the laity an earnest appeal in the Lord to give a willing, noble, and enthusiastic response to the voice of Christ, who at this hour is summoning us more pressingly and to the urging of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you wonderful people something tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to move in on you and press you to a point that you're uncomfortable. And the only people that become uncomfortable when Jesus speaks His words are the rich. Now the poor love it, but we are pressed because of what we have. We're very comfortable in our position, in what we have. And Jesus will move us out of that comfort zone. We don't like to be moved out of the comfort zone. We make ourselves little nests, and we hone them out and get them all pretty. And Jesus will come along and break up your nest. And we don't like that. The younger generation should feel this call to be addressed in a special way to themselves. They should welcome it eagerly and generously. It is the Lord Jesus Himself by this council. The bishops are saying that through us, God is speaking to me. And my dear brothers and sisters, I must be willing to yield to the voice of Jesus Christ. I must. Because He's the only truth. Don't we believe that? He's the only way. If He is God, then if we ever are to see God, we're going to have to follow His statutes and His commandments, or we aren't going to see Him. And He made it easy for us. He said, are y'all willing to die? Made it real easy for us. Are you ready to check out? The man that loses his life for my sake finds life. And the man that goes about looking for life, he loses it. You can't find life in this earth. It's all temporary. You only find life in the words of the Lord Jesus. They're forever. Everlasting. It says, it is the Lord Himself by this council who is once more inviting all the laity to unite themselves to Him even more intimately. My dear brothers and sisters, the only way you'll intimately relate yourself to Jesus is through His words. It's living His words. Let's all say that. Living His words. You cannot have an intimate relationship living your mind. You've got to live His words. You've got to repent of your mind and of your intellect and of your ways and begin to live the words of Jesus. As you begin to live the words of Jesus, you will have that intimate, personal, compassionate relationship with God. And folks, that's where the peace is. There is no peace in this world. There never will be any till Jesus comes and set up His kingdom. And my dear brothers and sisters, for all of you that are waiting for that kingdom to come, He set it up in me. Amen. And He set it up in you. We're the heralders of this. The problem is over. The battle has been won. The victory is ours if we'll begin to live it. Amen. To have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Listen to this. Here's the way we have an intimate relationship. To consider His interest as our own. Now you just stop and think about it. My interest no longer is in Wall Street. My interest no longer is in real estate. My interest no longer is in tall buildings. My interest no longer is in scenery or things. My interest is in Jesus. My mind is in Him. I'm only interested in what He was interested in. Not interested in nothing else. I'm not interested in football. I'm not interested in baseball. There's no life in that. Can you imagine Jesus pitching baseball? And you were at bat. Hit it! Hit a home run! My buddy just hit a home run! Can you imagine Him trying to strike somebody out? Or how about playing football? He'd give you the ball and tell you to run. Y'all let Him run. Run, buddy! Nobody gonna tackle you as long as I'm out here. Run! Now, you folks wouldn't go see nothing like that, would you? That's the dullest game I ever seen. Nobody got knocked down. I mean, every time they got the ball, they'd run a touchdown. Just open up holes and run right through here. Come right through here, buddy! Isn't that amazing? The interest, the mind of Christ. He let everybody go. He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I come to set you free. I come to love you. I come to save you. I come to give you life. I've come to give you forever and ever. We ought to be the most excited people that's ever lived. I mean, we've got everything in the world going for us. It's God. He's not against us, He's for us. Amen? And our minds, that's what repent means. We must change our minds and no longer take the mind of the world, the mind of the systems of the world, but take on the mind of Christ, because in that there's everlasting life. In that there's great joy. In that there's great enthusiasm. Because we live forever. Some of you people look like you already died. You ought to smile. You ought to just, you know, a guy said once, well, I can't, I don't have no teeth. That's all right, God's going to give you some more. Smile anyhow. We ought to be grinning. Amen. to consider his interest as our own, and listen to this, and to join in his mission as Savior. Do you know that each one of you is to play a role in this great evangelistic outreach that nobody else in the world can play? Do you know that each one of you will carry a message of Jesus Christ that nobody else in the world can carry? That each one of you plays a role in the church that nobody else can play? Each one of you will be a witness for God that nobody else in the world will ever be able to do it. Each one of you is a key, intricate part of the body. But you've got to have the mind of Christ to do it. You've got to surrender your will to Him. You've got to begin to live His words. You've got to begin to do those things that He did. Because it's in that, it's in living Him that the world can see in us the goodness of the Father. It's in Jesus that the world will recognize us as sons and daughters of God. We're to consider His interest and join in His mission as Savior. And listen to this. It is the Lord Jesus who is again sending them into every town and place where He Himself intended to come. I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus intended to come to Marietta, Georgia. Didn't He? Who did He send in His place? Huh? He didn't send me, sister. I'm just passing through. He sent the church. Father Henry, He sent him. And all you wonderful saints that live here. Y'all sitting waiting on me. I'm going to be in New York next week. I'm going up there to stir them up. And then I go over to Michigan. Go over and stir them up. Then I go into Maryland and stir them up. Then I take a break and go to Miami and stir them up. And this is all I'll do the rest of my life is just go stir people up. And folks, we're stirring them. My life is supposed to have an impact on your life that is a mind-changing thing. It's a mind-altering, life-changing thing. My life is supposed to influence your life so greatly that it'll change your mind, change your attitude, change your disposition, change your word, change your will. Just change everything to Jesus. That's what my life is supposed to do. And that's what your life is supposed to do. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be to one another. It's the light, the salt, the inspiration, the enthusiasm, the excitement of God. And folks, we got to start living His will if we're going to get into it. I walked in tonight and just got one of the most blessed surprises. You know, God's always dumping little goodies on you. I spent 6 weeks over in the Philippines 4 years ago. And I met a brother and his wife over there. Stuart and... Ann. And I walked in the night, there they stood. Now, Ann is kind of, you know, she just looks normal. But Stuart, you know, he's abnormal. I mean, he's big. And I mean, you just can't miss that guy. I mean, you could spot him anywhere in the world. And I walked in, I said, that's my brother. Spent 6 weeks over there and got an opportunity to visit with Stuart and his wife. And he works for the Coca-Cola company. And they send him all over the world. And he uses as a cover, an undercover agent for Jesus. He'll have an executive meeting of a morning, and at night, in the evening, you'll see him out in the soup lines and preaching Jesus. I said, how'd you get over here, brother? Coca-Cola company sent me. Praise God for my brother. Came back from the Philippines, spent a year over there. And went to Puerto Rico for 2 years. Now you're back in Atlanta for another year. No telling where God will send him. The guy carries the message of Jesus. Just love the brother and his wife Ann. And because he has the mind of Christ. Folks, can I tell you all something that's just happened? Y'all won't get mad at me. Now, you know what love is. Love is willing to suffer without retaliating. Now, when I tell you this, some of you may suffer. But you folks know that I've been on television for 2 years, national television, preaching from the documents of Vatican Council II, preaching the creed, preaching my faith, preaching the words of Jesus. And you, when you're doing that, you just have no idea who's listening. And somebody sent me a tape the other day. Has anybody ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? Y'all heard of him? Kenneth Copeland has been listening to me. And he said on this tape where he was preaching to, you know how many people follow that guy. I mean, you know, he comes to an auditorium, there's 10,000 people are waiting to listen to him. And he was talking to a big group of people one night, and he said, you know, I turned on my TV set one night. He said, there's this preacher. He said, I never knew him before, but he said, his name's Charlie Osborne, a Catholic preacher, preaching up a storm. And he said, now, y'all know I don't have anything against Catholics. He said, they people just like us. He said, this guy said something that just knocked me out of my chair. He said this. He said, you know, there's 850 million of us Roman Catholics, and if we all get baptized in the Holy Ghost, if we all take on the mind of Christ, if we all begin to take the attitude and the disposition of Almighty God, the battle is finished. I mean, we'll finish this thing up in just a short order. It'll be done. And he said, it brought me right up out of my chair. He said, my God, we've got to quit fighting those people and join up with them. And he said, Charlie, I'm with you. Now, I'm all over the country, and I like to call my wife every day. And I said, honey, I said, how's things in Pensacola? She said, oh, wonderful. Because she's saved. You know, folks, when you're saved, everything's wonderful. When you're walking, see, I know what the answer I'm going to get when I ask my wife, how's everything going? She says, marvelous. Because I know she's not retaliating against anything. She's just floating along, you know, just God's done the battle. I'm walking and talking. And she said, guess what? I said, what? She said, Kenneth Copeland is coming to town. I said, you go see that wonderful brother and send him some flowers. Now, folks, when I said that, I was just, it was almost like, send him something. Send him a flower. And my wife sent him a big bouquet of flowers and a fruit basket. Big fruit, oranges and apples and bananas. And when Kenneth Copeland checked into his hotel in Pensacola, the first thing that was ushered into his room was this big fruit basket. And he's telling this to 10,000 people, and he reached over and picked up the card. He said, you know, when I got to Pensacola, he says, I got this big fruit basket, and it was from Charlie Osborne, that Catholic evangelist. He said, folks, I want all of that I can get. He said, I want to support his strengths. He said, that man is doing something that we've been praying for years, that there would be a great move in the Catholic Church. He said, the move is on. He said, I want to support his strengths. You know, we got a check from him the other day for $10,000. I know some of you, it might upset some of you, but folks, that delights my heart. And folks, we are totally on as dogmatic and as principles of a doctrine of faith. We're as far apart as two men can get. But we're both preaching the same thing. We're both preaching the mind and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're both preaching love of the neighbor, love of the brother, love of one another, serving one another. We're both preaching the gospel of Jesus. A Roman Catholic and a non-denominational Pentecostal holiness preacher. That's what I am too. But I'm Catholic, because that's what God wants me. I don't know why he put me here. But I do now because He wants me to have the mind of Christ. It's not what you are or who you are. It's what God is, and it's when we reform to Him. It's when we put on His mind and take His attitude. It's not what you've done. It's what He's already done. We must walk in Him. And the bishops are telling us that we, you and I, must have the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, one more thing. Boy, listen, y'all ought to get this and read it. Blew me away when I... Folks, I didn't sleep for a week when I found this. I want you to listen to this. Between the members of this body, there exists, Father, such a unity and a solidarity that a member that does not work at the growth of the body to the extent of his possibilities must be considered useless, both to the church and to himself. Folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to tell you that if we're not doing everything that lies within our possibility to live and proclaim the life of Jesus Christ, we are absolutely useless, according to the bishops. And I know it's the truth. Every resource, everything that we can lay our minds to and our hands to and our heart to in this world should be geared toward the principles of Jesus Christ. If we really believe that He's God, if we really believe that we're the church and He's the head, can you imagine the body doing something other than the head directing it? And the head has directed us, and we've almost like, well, we're going to do our own thing. You know, I'll worship God my own way. Bust hell wide open. We can't do it our way. We're going to do it His way. Amen. Listen, folks, you know, people, they kind of come up sometime and make apologies for the number of people coming up. I said, man, don't worry about the number of people. If the ones we got can hear this message, there's enough. Y'all have turned Marietta, Georgia, Atlanta upside down if you guys get a hold of this message. Now for the message. Y'all ready? Now we're going to break the word on you. And I'm going to start in an area that Pope Paul VI has said is God's constitution for us. It's the great Magna Carta of God. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and it starts in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And what I'd like to do tonight is give you some homework for the rest of your life. Okay? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I want you to read it, because that is the true spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the that is the only place that Jesus spoke plainly to us. All the other places He spoke to us in metaphors, and He spoke to us in parables. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, He spoke to us very plainly. And in Luke 6, 27, or Luke 6, 20 through 48, the Sermon on the Plain, He spoke to us very plainly, where we don't have to figure it out. All we got to do is live it. But it takes a willing mind to receive it. That's the changing of the mind, the repentance. To take the mind of Christ, to take His words, His Spirit, and begin to live them. Knowing that when you begin to live His words, that you'll be pleasing to God and all things are possible. I mean all things. And I hope tonight, if I don't forget it, some of you remind me to share with you something that just happened in December of last year, just 2.5 months ago. And it's still happening. And it's getting bigger. But let me go and share with you. I'm going to share with you in Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Now we're in the Beatitudes. We're in to the place that God spoke clearly to us. And I'm going to tell you, if I can sit down and read this and understand it, as stupid as I was, none of y'all should have any problem at all. The problem that I had was making a decision to live it. And folks, I had to change my mind to live it. I had to make a decision to live it. My flesh has never felt comfortable with it. And I've had to battle this over and over and over. I make decisions on it every day. Every single And you'll do the same thing. Do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth. And I just want to ask a question. Has anybody got anything? Brother, you got anything stored up? Huh? You don't have anything stored up? Nothing. The only blessed guy in the place. Does anybody have anything stored up? Uh-oh. How about clothes? How about furniture? How about insurance? Y'all have any stuff like that? Just raise your hand. I just want to see how many. Boy, am I in the right place. Now, I want you to listen to the mind of God. Now, folks, it's not going to marry up with our mind. It's not going to feel comfortable to you. You're not going to like it. But it's a decision. The willingness to suffer without retaliating. It's a decision that we make to enter into the reality of God that made me and you, folks. If God made us and He brought these words to us, obviously when we do this, something must be good going to happen. Something wonderful must take place. And I'll tell you, I've labored in it for 10 years. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth. And then He gives us three areas that we store. Three areas. A moth. Did y'all ever hear this one? Where the moth and rust destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal. Those are the areas where a thief can break in and steal. He said, don't store up things that a thief can steal. He said, don't store up things that a moth can eat. Don't store up things that rust will consume. Don't do it. He said this. He said, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Taking the mind of Christ. Using the things of this world to build the kingdom of God. Folks, it's simple if we do it. He says, where neither the moth nor rust can destroy them, or the thief can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I've learned through this that my heart must be in the will of Almighty God. It must be in the kingdom of God here on this earth. My heart, my mind, my soul, my strength must be committed to the God that made me. Amen. All right, now, let's go through these three areas and see if we're guilty of something that God's told us not to do. How many of you here, I mean, in Marietta, do y'all have moths? Do y'all ever have moths? Well, brother, I'm going to tell you something. The only time that a moth will bother you is when you've got something stored. Folks, I can go to Haiti and ask those people, do they have moths? They said, what's that? It's not in their dictionary. They don't have moths because they don't have nothing stored up. A moth will never bother a poor person. It only bothers the people that have the ability to store. It won't bother anything else. A moth always comes where people have stored up things for later use. To extend the life of this flesh, to secure it, and to make it pleasant and livable as long as it's on this earth. Jesus said, don't do it. Because your heart will get into it. How many of you have ever seen, you say you got moths here, and you've already said, what does a moth eat? Clothes. Wool. Okay, let's just pretend that I got a wool suit on. Now, it's not wool, but you can pretend. And I'm coming to church on Sunday, and I get out of the car, and I start walking toward the main entrance, and from over the back of the church comes a whole flock of moths and eats my clothes off of me. Have y'all ever seen that? Have you ever been attacked by a moth? You ever been attacked? So you ever had to beat them off? Did you ever do it? Well, obviously then, there's a place that the moth is not going to bother us. It's in what we're using. It's what we've got. It's the clothes on your back. Remember when St. Paul said, be content with the clothes on your back and the food in your stomach? Be content with those things that are extremely temporary and now. He said, don't get involved in putting up something to where you'll place your heart and depend on it later down the road. He said, you'll be disappointed. And you know, folks, when I looked at this and looked at my past life, I was never happy with anything I ever had. A moth will only eat those things that you've stored up for later use. They will never eat what you're wearing. Now, I'm going to tell you how smart we have become. We've invented mothballs. We are going to get around God one way or the other because we have attained His wisdom of the world and we're going to beat Him. And this is where we are today. Folks, listen, right here in this room, there's enough stored up junk. I mean, that's all it is junk. Because most of us are too big to wear the things that you stored up. You've gotten too fat. You know? And you're hoping that one day you'll lose a few pounds so you can get back into it. But now let me tell you what you do as you lose it. You say, look at me. I've lost enough, I'll go buy me some new things. I'm not going to wear that old stuff. And you leave it hang. There was a time in my life that I actually laid plans to build a bigger home so I could have more closet space to store my junk. It's incredible how we think. The house wasn't big enough to store up my golf slacks. I had 50 pair of golf slacks. You know, I couldn't wear them all to save them. I just couldn't wear them all. And they hung. And people... I want you to listen to the love message in this. I want you to listen to the spirit of generosity. If we were followers of Jesus, you'd never store up anything. You'd be too busy looking for somebody to give it to so you could be a witness for Jesus. You just would never store anything up. You'd never dibble in the things of the world. You'd be too busy using the things to give influence to the world for Jesus. I bring you a gift. And you know, the only time that people starve to death in this world is when the Christians store it up and are not going to let anybody else have any. I've worked hard for it. It's mine. I deserve it. And I'm going to keep it if they all starve and go to hell. That's what we do. I've worked hard for it. I'm going to tell you, there ain't none of you ever done anything. God's done it every bit for you. He's the one that put you here. Amen. How can we brag about what we have when you're going to leave it anyhow? Looks like some of you are getting ready to leave it just any day. And we're bragging. Look what I got. Got my BMW. I tell you how ridiculous we're getting. I saw on television the other day where they buried a guy sitting up in his car. Dead or not snake, man. I mean, just... Going to plant him in his machine so when he got to where he was going, he could keep on driving. And I'm going to tell you what happened to it. Everything that they planted came out of the dirt and it returned to the dirt. Dug a big hole and put it in it so it wouldn't stink while it was going back into the dirt. Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on this earth, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. My dear brothers and sisters, when I got to examining my heart, I couldn't believe all the places that I had my heart hooked on the things that were absolutely critical for my life. I couldn't believe it. And it's taken years to break those things off. I don't expect y'all to go out tonight and just heal this situation in your life. It'll take years. And all we need to do, and he says that we should do this, is hold out a little bit to put clothes on my back and food in my stomach. And I never dreamed that I could live on such little money. Especially when I started this diet. It's amazing what a chicken breast and 6 ounces of tuna will do a day. It's incredible. More energy than I've ever had. I can preach all night. You folks might be in for it tonight. My strength has been renewed. I used to get up here and after about 45 minutes, I'd be panting like an old stuck hog. No more. I'm not even breathing hard. Look at me. I used to perspire. I mean, the sweat would pour. Remember over in the Philippines, water would drill off the end of my tie. Just, and I'd come home like this. No more. All right. Isn't this good? And we're all guilty, aren't we? We must repent and change our minds to these situations. All of the, listen, a moth is simply a symbol of our greed. It is an area that God has fixed for the wealthy, and he said, you're going to have it. And he said, if you're using the things that you have and sending them on and giving to those less fortunate, the moth will never bother you. You won't have to worry about it. The moth will erode your money. Did you ever put up money, put it in cans, and the moths eat it? Hide it in bags, and the moth eat the bag and the money too. Isn't it amazing? Going to save it for a rainy day. And a thunderstorm comes and kills you, you never get to spend it. It's amazing what we've done. And we do it all in the name of God. God told me that I must be a good steward over the things of this world. I can't find that nowhere in here. I cannot find where I'm to stewardship things. I'm to stewardship the gifts of the Holy Spirit to people. I'm to stewardship you. You're the thing that's important in this world. Things are not important. People are important. Amen? And if we can ever get that attitude that God died for people, not things. Folks, we'll win the world because we got enough things. We can just start giving them. People love to receive gifts. The hardest man in the world, the richest man in the world, somebody gives him something and he had to fight for it and kill somebody for it. Somebody gives him something, it melts his heart. I've tried it. I get the rich boys and send them something. Disarms them. Do not store up for yourself treasures on this earth. Isn't that simple? Folks, you don't have to figure that out. I mean, that's not a parable. It's not a metaphor. It's plain talking, ain't it? It's just plain. The only thing is we never looked at the moth. We just went, the reason I looked at the moth? I said, I wonder why he didn't say elephant. I know what elephant. I wonder why he picked on a moth. And one day I opened my closet and the moths are just going, I said, oh my God. Did you ever have that? Call the exterminator. The moths are in the closet. Get some mothballs. You take out your best coat that's got holes in it, and you start cursing. Sorry, no good moths got my jacket. Well, Jesus said it would get it. What y'all so quiet for? Waiting for the elephants. Folks, I'm going to tell you all what. This right here is a trip. This is a trip. And it's forever. If you can never make the decision, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get into it. And I'll tell you what you'll have to say. You'll have to say, if it kills me, I'm going to get into it. Because that's the attitude you'll have to take to get into it. Or you won't be able to get into it. Your flesh won't let you. You'll always say, well, now, you know, Lord, you want me to put just a little bit. No, he said, no, I don't. I want you to be out there clean and lean. I can say that now. I couldn't say that last year. I was out here, but I weren't lean. I'd been cleaned out every place but my stomach. The moth and rust. What does a rust destroy? Metal. The single biggest God that we have is our automobile. Now, if you don't believe it, you run out of here tonight to get in it to go home and let somebody have driven it off. You'll say, who stole my car? Called a law. Put that rascal in jail and want to teach him a lesson. And you know what Jesus said just up above this? If any man should rob you property, don't ask for it back. Are we ready for that? That's the mind of Christ. And folks, the only way you can enter into this is to know that you've got eternal life and things don't mean anything. They're all temporary. And when we operate in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to do those things that He said He would do. I learned this message from a man stealing my airplane.